I want attacking purpose for football all the time. Now we're going to have backs against the wall and we're going to fight and we're going to fight hard. You've got to show me all the guts and all the determination you've got in your body. You've got to inspire me.
A marvellous kick. That's as good as you'll ever see. And Footscray back in front. From inside the centre square, Boyes kicked the goal. Boyes kicked the goal. From inside the centre.
Hello.
Hello, Boydie. What are you doing?
I am currently living under a very large mountain of tasks that need to be done through the busiest time of my young 27-year-old life.
Really? This is busier than a pre-draft camp and year 12?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, pre-draft camp, you're still, you know, cruising around being an 18 or 17-year-old. You don't really know what responsibility is just yet. And, you know, as much as finishing your exams can be challenging at times, it's not quite the same as when you've got people and clients expecting stuff of you yesterday.
And listeners.
And listeners. That's true. That's true. It's been quite a week, actually. Without going into too much detail, I had a bit of a family health scare this week, so obviously couldn't join the show last week.
Yep.
And then obviously running through just the fact that we've got team members away at work, and I've been on the road traveling, and life is just, it is what it is, mate. It's very, very busy, and unfortunately, that meant I couldn't be a part of this wonderful episode that we've got coming up today.
Yeah, I didn't know whether we should pretend that, you know, I'm outside the Witten Oval and I'm very excited to chat to these people, or we'd be honest and say that I'm recording this about 2 hours afterwards.
Yeah, I think we'd just be honest with our listeners.
All right, fair enough.
It sounds like you had a great morning with the team out at the kennel, as they call it.
Yeah, it was awesome. And look, I don't want to, as I told you when we had a private conversation off air, but I'm genuinely so excited for this season now. Like, I thought about stopping at the tattoo parlor on the way home. Just, I'm that convinced we're going to go all the way.
Yeah, I feel like there's certainly some big names down at the club who are very excited about the AFLW season ahead. I can't wait, honestly. I really, really am excited to see what Witten Oval looks like by the time we actually get to play there and whether it's actually fan-friendly or not. But that remains to be seen, I think. As I've just found out with Bills, it's the last 2% that always takes the longest for some reason.
Yeah, we do talk about the first game back, which is on the men's grand final eve, and I'm very, very cynical that we will actually play it. But that's just because I know how renovations go. Boyd, this is an episode completely dedicated to the AFLW. Let's just touch on the men briefly. Horrible loss to the Giants, throwing away a 6-goal lead. We have a question from our number one Patreon, Superb Mario. He wants to know, he's always got good, intelligent questions, so I can't actually answer them. He's got two here. He wants to know about the difficulty of having contingency plans or a plan B. And in addition to that, how difficult can maintaining a structure around the ball during a game be when two key defenders go down?
Well, firstly, on the terrible loss point of view, it really stings to lose to the Giants in that fashion in Ballarat. I saw Steve-O, one of our great friends of the show, talking about how there'd been some adverse results for teams that were selling games. And I disagree with Mark. I think that selling games to Ballarat has historically been a strength of ours, though we have had, in more recent times, some bad losses up there. I think to Mario's question around contingency planning, at least in my time with Luke, there was always a plan A, B, and C. And usually what that meant was that, you know, we were going to play our style of footy with these certain players and these certain positions and try and gain an advantage in one part of the ground. But equally, if that didn't work and, say, the opposition's best players or the opposition's strength got on top of us, then we would have another plan to basically combat that. On the contingency plan for players, it's impossible. Like, there's no way that you can really have a plan to cover even one key position player, but definitely not two, both in one half of the ground. I think the there's certainly been a lot of ongoing conversations around, you know, why doesn't Norton go back, or, you know, why do we not have a what seems like a plan B once other teams get momentum? Like, I hear the criticisms, and, you know, I certainly think that fans would be frustrated with some of the results we've had this year. But at the same time, you've just got to take a deep breath at times and remember that both the players and the coaching staff they know the problems far, far more significantly and deeply than you do. And if you're frustrated, they're 1,000 times more frustrated trying to solve it, and particularly because it doesn't seem to be getting solved at the moment. So I think, I just feel like we're not the team in terms of clicking that we need to be to win these games at the moment. And I don't think that's, you know, always an easy thing to fix when a lot of this stuff just comes down to, you know, finding that groove, if you will, and getting some form, which, again, is all well and good to say, but very difficult just to accomplish.
And what about, he also asked about the wind. How much can that be a factor when you're a rotation short?
I don't know if there's much relationship between the wind and rotation.
That's good.
I think, you know, so much about playing weather, particularly like heavy wind, is about understanding what not to do as much as what to do. And we're just so dominant around the ball that it doesn't really make that much sense to me that, you know, the wind and the rotation would have been a significant factor. But having said that, you know, losing two players regardless of who they are, then you're playing other players out of position, which means inherently that there'll be mistakes made and there'll be less sort of familiarity between the players playing next to each other, which can mean that you have to run more to cover, you know, your teammates' poor decision-making or whatever. So it certainly has some impact on games, and winning AFL footy is hard, let alone winning it when you're undermanned.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, as bad as it is for the men's, we still are pretty much on track for finals. Tigers this Friday. How's your mate Nick Floston? You're very close with him. Any chance he's got a virus this week or anything like that?
Oh, not yet, but I'm hearing he might have a sore ankle after we go to the dog park together at some stage this week.
Excellent.
But having said that, I will be at the game working actually at a few of the corporate boxes this week, so I'm very excited to be down there.
Oh, I'll be there too. Oh, my God.
I don't know how long I'm... Yeah, we'll have a meeting off air, not on air. But I must say, you know, there is a very, very slim chance of this happening. But you could imagine, you know, if what you say is correct, Danny, that the game at Witten Oval for the W is the night before, the day before the grand final. That's a pretty good weekend if we were to make it.
Oh, yes, that would be, what a brilliant win. And that means that Witten Oval will be ready for the big party there on Sunday when we present the players and the cup to the fans again.
Those were the days, Danny.
It was one of the best days ever. Hey, one last thing. We talked about on the Patreon episode last week with Steve-O just about the contracts of Tim English and Aaron Norton. Have had a listener get in contact who said that they saw Aaron Norton at a pub in Braybrook and asked him bluntly, are you going to Perth? Are you staying at the Dogs? And he said, I'm not going anywhere. So there we go. That is a secondary source, but hey, we'll take any good news at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Don't take it to the bank, but yeah, I think he wants to stay. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I think he wants to stay. But Aaron's not really the issue, is he? He's re-signed for a couple more. It's more the big fella that I'm concerned about. Not because this is not me knowing anything or me talking to these guys. It's just objectively looking at the fact that they're both such superstars from not this state, and that's a challenge because the state that they're from has got lots of money.
Yes,
and it's also where their family is. So that by itself is a is a concerning combination to me, being someone who has done exactly that in their career.
Yeah. Well, we were trying to get Tim to be a guest on the pod due to you just randomly running into him somewhere. I have no idea where UX footballers hang out, some Footballers Anonymous cult meeting. But if we get him on, we'll get all of you listeners to get your children to send in 20-cent pieces to get him to not move, a la Chris Grant in 1996.
And also videos of the kids begging him to stay, so at least he feels guilty if he goes.
Yeah, let's do that. All right, that's the plan, my friends. Anyway, that's enough about the men's. We'll see you Friday night. Let's talk about the women's because things are very, very exciting at Witten Oval. We're starting with Gabby Newton and Jess Fitzgerald. I got told you're training for 6 hours.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a very long training. We start at, like, prep is technically 12:30, and then we have meetings after training that go to 6:30. So, yes, it is a bit of a long day. But it's our favourite day still.
Really?
Wednesdays.
Look at this. They're so young. If Boydie was here, he would talk about how you actually play footy for free, but you get paid for the meetings.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And now I feel that, yeah. Especially when Nathan Burke's talking. Tell you what. My goodness.
We've got Gabby here. We've got Fitzy here. How long, Gabby? You've been here now 3 years.
I think this is year four.
Year four.
Got drafted end of 2019, so I'm basically a veteran now.
You are. Yeah. When was the ACL?
ACL.
Well, no, the shoulder, the shoulder, the shoulder.
Oh my god!
Sorry,
oh
the shoulder.
Oh my god! Don't say.
Yeah, when is
like
that due? I got told by a psychic. Sorry, the shoulder. Yes.
The shoulders were my second season, so 2021, but then just dragged on for a very long time.
I do that. Yeah. Fitzy, what's your worst injury?
Oh, none so far in footy. I tore my hammy in basketball, but yeah, touch wood again. Oh my god, you're cursing us.
I like how you say I tore my hammy in basketball, like that wouldn't affect your footy.
No, I don't think I was playing footy at that stage. I was sort of on my little break.
Yeah. What was the break? Tell me your story.
Yeah, so I started playing Oz kick age, and then played with the boys. Won a flag with them, so then I hung up the boots. I was like, yeah, that's me done.
And you won a flag with Oz kick?
Or? No, not Oz kick. Right. No, this was under 11s, I think it was.
Nice. What club?
Bundoora Park Thunderbolts.
Nice.
Yeah, Thunderbolts. and then, yeah, there were no women's teams, so I was a pretty keen basketballer.
Pretty standard story these days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, was really into basketball, and then the women's league sort of started up, and I joined an all-girls team, and then haven't stopped since. So.
Was that the Falcon, Darabin Falcons?
No, it wasn't really in that like age group. I was just St. Mary's Greensboro.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yep. So you're both Greensboro. From the north?
Yes, we
sure
are.
Sure am.
Sweet. What's your hometown, Gabby?
Doreen.
Oh, proper north.
Beautiful Doreen.
That's southern Sydney, practically.
Yeah, yep. Tell me about it. Yep.
Who did you play for?
I am literally the same as Jess, except I played for Yarrambat.
Oh, I played against Yarrambat. God, they were rough.
Bet you felt the fire of the Bat Cave.
I very much did, yes.
And 90s. Then I just played for Northern Knights.
Oh, right.
I played for Montmorency for a season with the girls.
Ah, the Magpies. Yep. Yes.
And then, yeah, we all played at the Northern Knights, the Northern Suburbs girls.
Were you, are you guys the same age? I think you've been around slightly longer.
No.
Is that right?
Opposite.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe I just think you've been here for
it's
ages, Fitzy.
Than Gabby, I guess.
That could be it. Yeah. It's all the grey hair. No, it's because we knew you straight away, Fitzy, because half the crowd at Witten Oval were your family.
Yes,
this
they were.
True.
Yep.
Whose idea was which one of your family members whips up the rest of the like, it seems like, for those who haven't seen, it's a very, like, it's about, I'm not exaggerating, it's about, what, 30, 35 people?
Oh, there's a lot. Sometimes I don't even know them. They come up, they're like, Jess, and I'm like, hello. And I'd be like, Mum, who the hell is that? They're like, oh, it's like your third cousin. I'm like, beautiful.
It's like, well, I'm guessing Fitzgerald might be Irish.
Oh, who knows? No idea.
No, you are, yes.
Oh,
there's millions of us.
Oh,
well,
cool.
Fitzgerald is an Irish name.
Oh, wonderful. There we go. I'm learning so much today.
Yes, I'm you 40 years from now. I'll just educate you. What's your Newton's quite, could be anywhere around, you don't know.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Because I've talked about on the podcast, when you're in full flight, you look like a Valkyrie, like those ancient Norse warrior goddesses.
Wow. Oh my gosh, I feel amazing right now.
You should. You're just so tall and dominant, and it's just, you look like you're about, like, I've played a bit of God of War. It just looks like you're about to just create, two axes are about to appear in your hands, and you're going to destroy them.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing. I need the girls to know about this. That's my new nickname.
Oh no, you've got a good nickname. I don't know if you remember, after you kicked the winner against Frio, both my kids wanted autographs of all of the players, and when you did the lap of honour, I got to tell you the nickname that the Danny Boyd fans have given you after, because we lost Bonnie Toogood.
Yes.
You are now Gabby Even Better.
Oh yeah, I love that. I'm going to tell her that straight away.
Damn straight. That should be get Fitzy. Can you get the rest of the group to call it Even Better?
I mean,
you just get Fitzy. Are you disappointed by that? Because Boydy, my co-host, does. He was just always Boydy. Never got anything else.
Yeah, it's not really original.
But a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you've got a nickname at least.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm
you know, everybody just calls me Gabby, but now we've come up with, you know, two better nicknames today.
The Valkyrie and Gabby Even Better. Do you know what's weird? When I was doing research of you, it's all very formal. It's all Gabrielle Newton.
Yes, Gabrielle. That does get thrown around a little bit. That's Nathan's favourite name for me.
Is that when you're in trouble? Or?
Yeah, it is. Gabrielle Mary Margaret. That's what I get.
Oh, you are so Catholic.
Yeah, I've got the double.
Well, Fitzy, we can come up with a nickname for you. You played for the Thunderbolts. Thunderbolts, pretty good.
Oh, Bolt.
Andrew sort of ruined that nickname.
Andrew?
Andrew Bolt, the right-wing guy in the Herald Sun, writes about not liking Indigenous people.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whale.
What's he got? Thunder? Thunderbolt? Or who else did you play for?
Greensboro.
What were they called?
The Burra. Yeah, nah. I think Bolt's a lot cooler than Burra, but
I tell you what, I'll just put it to the Danny Boyd fans. They're very creative, and you want something better than Fitzy?
If there is something better,
of course we can make it work.
Awesome.
How's the vibe of preseason this year? Because it feels like ever since we won the flag in 2018, we've sort of had to just keep our heads down. You know. As a club, because any time a player got really good, they were stolen.
Yeah, this
is like true. We've lost, you know, three quarters of that team, and it was almost times when both of you, I've been like, put a lid on it. Hey, pretend you're injured. Get off the ground. Come on, North are watching. Stop it. But it feels like this year now, all the teams are out there. We can finally get the windows open. Is that? Am I jinxing us by saying that?
No. I think it's completely hitting the nail on the head.
Yes.
Because I think ever since like my draft year, we've sort of been adding younger talent. And then this year we were able to get in the mature recruits in Bree, Maggie,
Dom.
And Dom.
Go on. No, wait. A lot of, who are these full named players?
Oh, sorry. Bree McFarlane.
Where do we get her from?
She came from Brizzy. I think she took a season off. She had shoulder injuries as well.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah, we've got her down. And then, do you want to talk about Maggie?
Maggie Gorham. She's a Canberra girl. I'm trying to get the nickname Moose Stick, so if we can...
Sure, absolutely.
Moose. Why
Moose?
It's her favourite nightclub in Canberra. Oh. So, yes.
I've been to the Moose in Canberra, yes. Yeah. Moose Head, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
God, is that still open?
Apparently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Canberra girl, so...
All right, Moose.
But she was previously at the Giants, I think, for a little while.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And Dom as well, who is just an absolute freak runner. We had like a recovery session.
Wait, what's Dom's full name?
Dom Carruthers. She's just an absolute freak runner and such a good chick. She was like doing a lot of skills sessions with us and running sessions. And there was one where you guys were doing an off-season run. And she was kind of watching on the side and she was like, oh, girls, do you mind if I join in? I think they were doing like 200s. And she ended up beating everybody for like 20 seconds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's just so
she's
quick.
Thunderbolt.
Yeah, she's Thunderbolt, unfortunately. Yeah.
Lost it all to her.
Yeah, they're really exciting. And I think they just add to the depth of our list. This is probably like the deepest lifts we've had, across the board.
It feels like there's genuine optimism around the club. I mean, you both... bundled into this room just so happy that you've got 6 hours of training and meetings ahead of you, which when I talk to a few of the more veteran players, they're less excited. But this is so exciting. I'm filled with the milk of premiership potential.
The milk of Hamish.
Milk. I love milk.
I feel like Ted Lasso in here. I feel like you're going to come out, yes, you're going to smack the top of the door. And is there any players, I mean, we've obviously got the veterans, is there any new recruits that we should be particularly excited about that the, you know, I mean, you guys don't get enough media as it is. So is there anyone who's come in and you're just like, oh, wow, they're going to make an impact in their first year?
I think for me, Dom is the one that I
was. How old is Dom? I thought Dom was veteran.
Oh, sorry. Is that? Oh, we're not talking about them.
I'll talk about the new. Do we have any new recruits? Any draftees? I'm happy to keep talking about Dom if you want. But
it's like they're the newest ones that have sort of come in. Who else is there?
I think Keely Coyne. Oh, she had some injuries at the end of last season, but I think coming back into the team and like being part of the main group this preseason, she's just so quick and so explosive with the ball. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what she can bring. I think Izzy Grant is looking so good this preseason. My goodness. So excited to watch her. She plays down on me. We have a little forwards and backs rivalry going on. Who else?
I think I'm excited for Millie Brown.
She's been out
a little bit of training with some injuries, but just her knowledge, I feel like it's just gone to a whole new level, like the game style that we want to play. She's just all over it. So,
and obviously her nickname is Bobby.
Yes, Millie
obviously.
Bobby.
Of course, Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things, if you're an old person. Come on. That's genuinely. Normally, you talk to footballers and you say, you know, is the Premiership League over? We go, oh, obviously, we're taking it one week at a time. You two are just going, yeah, we reckon we could go all the way.
Yeah, well, got to have that belief.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Sweet. And what's an average week for you? Are you guys studying as well? Do you still live at home? You've moved out? Is there one share house where all the players are? Or like a big majority of them. What's happening?
I live at home. Don't do a lot.
In Doreen?
Yeah, in Doreen.
That's a long way to drive.
It is a long way. I don't know. Train. Was going to uni, not going to uni.
Oh, really?
Starting to work here.
That's it. What are you doing at the club?
I think I'm working with the recruiters.
You think you are? Is this just an...
Well, I got the job.
This reeks of Carlton just... brown paper bag under the table. No, but it's all within the salary cap, people.
It's all approved. I'm not really sure. Life is just one day at a time at the moment. Yeah.
Where are you living, Fitzy?
Yeah, I'm in Bundoora.
At home as well?
At home still, yep. And just working casually for actually Gabby's mum and auntie's little business.
Really?
Rise Wellbeing, little plug.
What is that? Yeah, plug it away. What is it?
Yeah, disability support work.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah, so do that. 2 or 3 times a week, which is really, really handy for footy. It's very flexible. And obviously they understand what I need to do because they've got a daughter and a niece that's in the same program. So, I really enjoy it.
Daughter and a niece. Is it?
Yeah, because it's my mum and my auntie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, right, yeah. Right. Sorry, I thought there was another Newton coming. I got all excited. what do you guys eat before a match? I've heard some really wrong things from especially Toby McLean, but
Oh God, what does he eat?
He's scrambled eggs on bread, not toast, on bread. It just sounds like a soggy, porridgey mess.
Oh God.
Which is fine if it's porridge, but this eggy thing, it won't stand. What do you folks eat?
I'm just a pasta girl.
Yeah, I'm pretty
on the morning
too.
Absolutely
not.
Wow, I wish there was vision of that. You both looked horrified.
Oh my God.
Absolutely not.
No, normal breakfast.
What's normal? Come on. Come on. You're talking to civilians
girl.
Here.
I'm a Weebix girl.
Weebix.
Yeah.
How many?
I do 3.
Yeah, good.
With a bit of banana, honey.
Really?
Yeah.
What about Milo?
There's always a Milo with it.
Not Milo on
not,
top of the Weebix, though.
But just a glass of milk and some Milo.
Yeah, nice.
Absolutely.
Even better?
I have a little bit of a weird stomach.
Oh, really?
So I kind of like, especially before a game, I like just struggle to digest anything. So I am more just like a smoothie and some plain toast, maybe with some honey.
Is that nerves?
Or? Yes. And IBS. So.
Oh, please make that your autobiography. Nerves and IBS.
Always. Yep.
Oh God, that must be. So IBS is quite. I've got friends who have it who aren't elite athletes, and it's quite debilitating to them. How do you balance IBSN being an elite athlete.
Yeah, well, I know what sets me off.
Yeah.
So
how bad is it? Is it like? Is it what can't you have?
Well, like garlic, onion are the main ones.
Oh no way!
Lactose.
So just obviously. The base of all good food.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh man.
But I don't even notice now. Like, if I'm cooking something for myself at home, I'll just cook the most plain Jane, most boring meal ever, and I'll think it's like the most flavorful, amazing, like master chef. Like, I've got to take this cooking worldwide.
Reminds me of my wife. Anyway. Well, it's a discussion for off air. So, all right, we play. Who do you think is our biggest threat for premiership glory this year? Which teams are you? Are you doing much opposition analysis, or is it all just get better at what you do?
It's always hard to tell, like before we start practice matches or even the season. But Melbourne didn't lose anybody, unfortunately.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah, I wish.
Didn't Daisy retire?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh. Our just Lord one of and the Saviour, Daisy. Yes, I forgot.
Just one of the greatest players of all time.
Sorry, yes. They did lose Daisy.
And Taylor Harris from I don't know if people saw her boxing match last week. She might have to go under some concussion protocols.
Yeah, 100%.
Gnarly.
Yeah, I think they would probably be the biggest threat to premiership glory. And we versed them at Casey Fields, which will be interesting. We didn't do too well last year.
Yeah. Oh, they've humped us. That's right.
Yeah,
we did. Yep. Yeah, I'm so annoyed at Casey Fields. Like, there's no public transport out there. It's barely in Melbourne. Why do Melbourne play there? What's the...
Tell us buddy about it. Yeah.
and we don't play Collingwood, which is a shame because you want a bit of a revenge after.
Well, maybe we'll get revenge in the finals.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah.
And is there any rivalries brewing in the AFLW that we don't know about? I mean, the men, obviously, they hate the Giants, but do when we play GWS,
I reckon last season there was a little bit because we played them in a practice match here and we sort of, there was a couple like incidents where we sort of went at each other. And so I think that like fueled us like for the game in round one. But I'd say probably our rivalries are like Melbourne because we play the Hampson Hardman Cup.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Yeah.
Anyone else?
I mean, every game is obviously, you know, every game matters. That's all that. But who do you particularly like to be? I have been told that your brilliant coach, Nathan Burke, has tried very hard to instill a rivalry with the Crows. And that's simply because he lost the 97 grand final to them.
Well, yeah, there probably is a bit because...
True.
Yeah, we lost to them like in our first couple seasons and then... You guys had an amazing game
the one
against
point
them.
Win.
Yeah,
and that was good.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was so awesome.
And playing the Crows at their home as well is always like hectic because they have a very strong supporter base who aren't afraid to speak their
Norwood.
Minds. Yeah, at Norwood. Yep.
How was Port Adelaide though? Alberton, like that's that's famously one of the most brutal grounds to play at with a very parochial crowd. And something that I like about AFLW is it's a nicer crowd. There's no usually the loudest dickhead is me. But I am very loud, but I'm 98% positive. I'm only negative towards I've nothing but respect for the umpires, respect and a little bit of disagreement.
Sounds like Nathan Burke over there.
I think I've heard the Port fans didn't get that memo and were just as brutal as they would be for an SANFL men's game. Is that fair?
Yeah, they were pretty brutal. I think we had their first ever home game
at
that Oval, so that was kind of cool for us.
I was going to say, they got me pumped when they sang the
song. We were
singing
with them.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, I've never felt more pumped up in my life before a game. They were very, very passionate. But I think like as a player, it just like gets me pumped up because you can't hear anything specifically that the crowd's saying, but you can just hear, rah!
Which is a shame. I'm very funny out there.
If only.
Oh man, you should have seen it at the Matildas Canada game when they took a dive. I went, I've seen better acting on Degrassi. So what do you want from the crowd this year? Like, you say that pumps you up. Do you want us give us a rev up as Bulldogs fans? What you want us there loud? Do you want us yelling at the opposition? Do you want us, just being obnoxious, or do you want us to continue our polite ways? What do you want?
I kind of like how it's sort of more a polite crowd. I don't like the booing and all that in the AFL. So, yeah, I think like if the opposition does a good play, it's like good on you.
Okay.
But yeah, I love when they start cheering. Like you're coming down the wing, you're like, ooh, just run a little bit faster. Cause you can hear them.
Do you always run towards your family on the Doug Hawkins wing Witten Oval? It will be the Hawkins Fitzy wing very soon. But do you ever just run towards there just to get that rush?
I can hear them from anywhere. Like my auntie has like this voice that I can just hear anywhere. So I always know where they are.
All right, so maintain being loud and polite.
I think take
some cheeky digs. Why not?
Yes.
Especially once we're back at Witten. That's our, you know, this is our home. Let's own it.
Yeah. Which side do you prefer to kick to?
The what end?
Pointing
do we call
doesn't
that?
Work.
The gym end.
Pointing doesn't work.
I'm pointing
on a
to the left, everybody. The gym, like there's an indoor. You won't be able to miss it. A massive indoor field end. That's how
that would
my
be the
end.
that's the Barclay Street end.
Yes,
it is.
Okay,
because I think that's usually where the cheer squad would be.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
And there'll be a match day pavilion there as well. So no doubt that's where everybody be flocking to the bar.
Are they bringing back the food trucks and the bouncy castle and everything?
Oh, who knows?
Yeah, I suppose they don't tell you. They want you to focus on the game. Yeah, and I guess with booing, like often you boo a player who used to play for the Bulldogs and has moved, but we've lost so many. You'd be out of breath by quarter time.
You'd be booing every second person who gets the ball. Yeah. And unfortunately, they're quite good players as well.
Oh, I've noticed. I've noticed. So what game are you most excited about this year?
Ooh.
We got the Cats round one. Who's round two?
I'm excited for round five, the first game back at Witten.
Against Saints Friday night.
Oh, and I think Berkeley Burke clash.
Ooh. It's the right before the grand final, the men's grand final.
Oh, the grand final eve.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. I think it'll be huge. Mm-hmm. Burkey against his old club.
You played your first game against the
sure did.
In that infamous match where the free kick count was like 11,000 to minus five.
You know, it always seems to happen to us. And I've got a feeling.
I've noticed that too.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that Berkey screaming at the umpires from the sideline doesn't help. Doesn't help in most cases. He alleges that he's very nice to them. So we'll see. We'll see. He was sucking up a bit. We had them come in a couple of weeks ago and just explain like a few different rules and stuff. And Berkey had a very nice demeanor.
Is there any new rules that we should know about for this year?
I don't think so. Just the same as usual. Yeah. Lasso.
Lasso. No, what? Lasso tackles.
What's that? Last touch out of bounds.
Oh.
The lasso. You've got to be kidding me. It's my favourite move. Oh, that.
I genuinely don't look at the umpires that much. I'm too busy yelling. So the last touch out of bounds for a free kick for the opposition, they do a lasso.
Literally a lasso, yeah.
Why?
Because it's incredible.
Changed the team.
Lasso, we're going the other way.
Switching it up.
Well, we are so excited to watch you folks come back out there and smash it. I'm loving the optimism that's going around. And so who are the players we're looking out for, our three newbies? And do you know what numbers they are?
Ooh.
Dom's 14.
Bree's like 58.
Oh, really?
Maggie's 25?
Yeah. She would be, yep.
Yeah, okay, sweet. Now, don't forget, buy a Fitzy badge, buy a Gabby even better badge because I've since learnt very recently you get a bit of coin from that, so please. The men do, allegedly. They get a little percentage of how many badges with their faces on the side.
I reckon my mum's bought about 50, so.
There you go. She's wasting your inheritance, but it is going to you, so that's all right. Thank you so much for coming on. We would love to chat with you halfway through the season when you're undefeated.
Beautiful.
Oh, love to hear it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Cheers. Normally, we would finish tonight around about 9:30 at night, the time they get home. But now we can actually train during the day. We've bought one session a week. So starting team meeting at 1:30. So they're probably out of here by 7.
What's changed? Why are we allowed day training now? Why weren't we allowed day training?
We weren't allowed day training. Initially, it was weren't allowed to have them here before 5 o'clock.
Oh.
Allowed everyone to work. during the day, because what would happen is clubs would say, hey, you know, let's come in at 2, let's come in at 1, and then all of a sudden players couldn't work and they couldn't earn enough between footy and work. There was a couple of teams last year who made the excuse that, oh, we've only got 2 players who work on this particular day, can we come in early? And they were allowed to, and then naturally everyone else says, hang on, that's a bit unfair, so we want to do that too. So some teams are going to doing the full day at a club, like I know Port Adelaide did last year and West Coast did. So we're not quite at the stage of saying be here all day, plus with our facilities as they are at the moment, it's a bit squashy to have everyone in.
Because the men are training today as well.
Yeah, so. Men are training today. So we kick the men off and basically take over the place. So they're here all morning and then they're gone by 1 o'clock, and then we start our team meeting at 1:30 and on the track at from 2 till 4 and in the gym for sort of 4:30 to 5:30, and 6:30 there. All out of here. If they don't hang around and talk for an hour like they normally do.
Because we talked last time you were on the pod about all the clandestine sort of meetings you'd have to have. You'd go walk your dog in the park. Yep. Coincidentally, so would Ellie Blackburn.
Yes. Yeah, no, all those sort of things.
And you wouldn't discuss footy. Of course not. You were discussing the weather, but for a long time.
Exactly. But the hours are gone. Oh, I think they're 25 hours a week.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. We stay within that, but we're basically Monday is still an evening session, so out of here around about 9 o'clock on a Monday. Tuesday we give them the day off. Wednesday here from 12 till 6. Thursday here from 5 till 7, and then Saturday morning, I think the team meeting starts 8:15, and they're out of here about 12:30. So still 4 sessions a week.
Yeah.
But, the big change is during the day, and I get texts from girls at 7:30 saying, hey, I'm home, how good's this, rather than being home at 10 o'clock on a main session.
And are you still having a day job, or are you full-time now?
Technically I'm full-time. I could still do my other job, which was like consulting stuff that I do and running some leadership programs in schools and things like that. So I can still work that in, still doing a little bit of work on commentary with the ABC, but you don't get rich working for the ABC.
No.
So that just sort of keeps me. To be honest, that's a bit more of a, hey, I get to go to a AFL game, different one each week, and see how different teams play and sit up there objectively as a coach and go, right, well, what would I do here and what would I do? What should, you know, Chris Scott do there and all that sort of stuff. And so it's a bit of PD for me, basically.
Nice. That you get paid for.
That I get paid for, yeah. Not well, but I get paid for with the ABC. So that works out well for me.
What have you learnt recently? What's your latest coaching sort of epiphany?
Coaching epiphany. Not sure what our latest one is, but this time of the year, probably the epiphany that I've gone is my own mental state, in that I'm always so worried about this time of the year. We're about a month out from game one.
Yeah.
So majority of the players start to think about, okay, well, how fit am I? They start to get a bit paranoid. How fit am I to actually start round one? I've had an interrupted preseason, haven't done this, haven't done that. And they naturally look on the negative side. And then the other one is they start to do the numbers of, hey, I want to play on the half forward line, but judging by the numbers, the magnets on the board there in the forward line and how many players are out there, we're rotating through when we do match sim, I'm one of 5. And so they start to do all those numbers and all that sort of stuff in their head. So managing that is a big part of our coaching process, but also my own mental state in terms of, okay, if I'm feeling a little bit of anxiety, what is it? It's mainly because of, have I taught them everything that I want to teach them and that they need to know by round one? So you've got that list in your head, but you're also counting down the days rapidly to there. So it's about being organized. And so plotting down every single training session that we've got, what I need to teach in each one of those training sessions, what I need the mood of the group to be in each one of those training sessions.
Okay.
What sort of the mood the coaches need to progress over between now and round one. So everything at the moment, it's attention to detail. So I really need to pay attention.
And that's stressful.
Yeah, it is. So if we're doing kick-ins and kick-outs and forward stoppages and that sort of stuff, I need them attention to detail, so that I can say, yeah, they've got it. And then the last 2 weeks, I can really work on the confidence of, hey, you've got everything that you need in order to start round one. It doesn't matter if you're not 100% fit, you're 90% fit. Well, footy IQ and competitiveness will cover for any lack of fitness that you haven't got. And other ones, you're super fit. So I can really just start to work on the mindset of the individuals and the group, knowing that the detail's been covered.
Yeah.
And so that's the sort of 2 weeks that I'm in now, getting a bit paranoid. Have I covered the detail? And just because I've actually presented it to them doesn't mean that they know it. So yeah. How do I actually test that?
Could you do a written exam?
I've done that.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So was it like multiple, okay, there's a kick in and Sabrina Frederick Traub is running at you. What do you, A, go the hip and shoulder? Do you, B, run? Pretty much.
So on our platform that we use for all our communications, you can actually do surveys and questionnaires and things like that. So it was a collection of multiple choice. Also fill in the answers and a range of questions.
Who got the highest score?
Look, I didn't give them a score and gave it back. I just wanted them to actually do it and then to, in their own mind, say, geez, that came easy. I answered those. Or, you know what, I struggled a bit.
Okay.
And if they say to themselves, hey, I struggled a bit, then take on the ownership of sitting down with me and going, right, Herbert, I struggled on these defensive ones. I've been sort of focusing on the forward ones. Can we go through them together?
And how many players have done that?
Yeah, quite a few have done that. And so it's not a case of, hey, you failed, you passed, all that sort of stuff. I really want them to realise, what do I need to play good footy? And that's part of it, that footy IQ. And it's also about me. If they all get it wrong, well, it's not their fault. It's my fault for not teaching them properly.
Mm.
So us coaches, we need to have a good hard look at ourselves. So I don't sort of blame the players. Yeah, they've got a role in learning it, but it's primarily, have I taught it properly?
So, who's your director of footy now that Debbie's gone?
Lee. Sean Pollard is our sort of general manager of football, I think his title is. But
where'd we get him from?
So Sean's been here for
elevated.
Years and years. Yep. Yeah, he's worked in the men's program. He was a COVID officer there. And so he's mainly played admin roles throughout the football club, various. But probably the key thing on the football side is I've now got a head of development, which is Nicole Callanan, the
ex-champion
premiership
player. A bull god.
Yeah. Yep.
Yes, we love Nikki. She's a friend. She's been on the show. We love it. I'm hoping she'll pop in and have a chat today.
Nick, she broke down. She was playing football herself and she needed an operation on her hip. So she's off to see the surgeon. She's recovering. So hopefully she recovers enough to be our runner.
I did see her recently, and she's injured her hip, and there's quite a large cyst or something there, and she's quite happy about showing it off as well. Look at that.
I know,
because it looks like she's got a mobile phone in her pocket at all times.
Yeah. So that's coming down. She's moving around. Every time we walk up and down the stairs here, it's Nick two stairs going, three stairs at a time. So I'm pushing her.
You wanted to play, don't you?
Oh well. You know, play match him at least, but she's going to be our runner. But Nick's been great in also great sounding board for me, going, hey, Nick, how do you think they're going with this? Have they really grasped this? Have they not? And she gives me great ideas and a real good finger on the pulse of what the players are feeling. So, yeah, that's where we're at the moment. So it's a bit of a paranoid time at the footy club with coaches. Have we taught them enough and players? Am I ready to go? But we'll work through that this week. And then the last 2 weeks, if you think of it like a big funnel. So everything that we put in at the top, at the bottom end, we end up with a team who know how to play and are confident that if they play that way, well, then good things will happen. And so that's the state we need to get them in that last couple of weeks before Geelong.
Well, I got to say, talking to Fitzy and Gabby, they're very happy and very confident, good. Which is fantastic. You mentioned moods in training. Do you sort of play good cop, bad cop in different sections or
slightly? I do.
How many different moods are there?
I don't have a lot. I don't have a lot of different ones, because what I've found is if I do get grumpy at them, they tend to, they're not a group that will fire up if I get grumpy at them.
Yeah, okay. I think you said this last time. You've got to say, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, the lip will start to quiver if I get angry at them a little bit too much.
Yep.
So it'll be, I think they can tell my demeanor now. If I walk around looking grumpy, I think that's enough. It might be a training drill, and by how hard I blow the whistle.
Oh, wow.
They'll sort of go, oh, yeah, that was a bit of an angry blow of the whistle. So,
because they have so much more empathy than yeah, women generally have better empathy than men. So yeah. They can just pick up on these little cues.
Oh, yeah, far better EQ than what men have got. So I need to use those little things. and it might simply be standing there with my arms folded and I'll let the assistant coach sort of talk about that drill. And they'll go, oh, Berkey's not happy with that drill because he's not sort of engaging with us. And so they'll go out and they'll do it again and they'll do it better and that sort of stuff. So all those little subtle things.
How do you do the opposite? How do you do the subtly, I'm very proud of you, without over the top gushing?
Yeah. It's just, it can be as simple as a smile, as a walk in and, and a bit of a laugh and a joke, that sort of thing. They know that if I'm, hanging crap on Ali Blackburn for a mistake that she's made, then they're going, oh, okay, he's happy. It's good.
Okay.
So it might not even be just addressing the drill at all. It might be coming and going, great, let's go on to the next one. And then they go, hey, okay, we did that really well.
Yeah.
And off they go. So, and just really being visible. As they're sort of they're arriving at 12 o'clock today for a 1:30 start. So I'll be down there just being visible, talking with them, finding out what they did this morning, what they had for breakfast, what they do yesterday on their day off and all that sort of stuff. And it's still – this was happened in footy back in 1987 when I first started. If the coach walked into the room grumpy, everyone would be going, oh, sheesh, coach is grumpy.
Yeah.
Keep your head down, keep out of the way. If the coach walks in happy, laughing, well, then it sort of gives everyone the license to do that. And it's still, it's not as bad as it used to be, but there's still an element of that going around. So I just really need to be mindful of sort of how I'm carrying myself with this group and understanding that upbeat works 90% better than downbeat does, especially with this group.
And what's your vibe on the season? Because I've spoken to Nikki Callanan off air, and I just spoke to two of your star players. Everyone's admitting the premiership window's open.
Absolutely, we've sort of been working towards this for the last 4 years. Obviously, played finals last year. There's absolutely no reason in the world why we should be going backwards.
Yeah.
So if you play finals, the next step is to play the pointy end of finals. So that's just a natural progression of thing. As we know in football, it doesn't always work out that way. Other factors come into play. But at this stage, no reason why we're not aiming for that. And so what we've done the whole preseason is looked at, okay, what are the aspects of our game in terms of the way we gameplay and move the ball, the way we defend. So ideally to match it with the Melbournes and the Brisbanes, we need to probably defend 2 goals a game better.
Okay.
And we need to probably kick 3 goals a game better than what we have. And then we're into sort of the numbers space of where Melbourne and Brisbane and those sort of teams finish. So that's been our focus. How can we defend the whole ground better? So kick 2 goals less and kick 3 goals more for us.
Melbourne's still the big bad? Are they the ones we're worried about? How's Daisy Pierce though? Come on.
Yeah, no, we're not worried about anyone.
Good sentence.
I look back. Last year, Melbourne was our biggest defeat. We didn't cope well with that one.
It was awful.
The year before, I think we lost by 54 points to Adelaide over in Adelaide, something like that, and then we beat them by a point.
Yeah, that was
the
awesome.
Next game.
Yeah.
So we've got a history of turning those sort of wins and defeats around very, very quickly. So I'm looking forward to actually having another crack at the D's. Nobody else really scares me. On our day, I think we're a very, very good footy team. We just have to have our day in a 10-game season. You have to be close to your day every week.
Yeah, you can't have any off days.
No,
and that's got to add to your stress as well.
Yeah, you can't afford to lose one that you shouldn't. It's a sprint, and you can't afford to trip over a hurdle along the way. So that's just the way it is, and that means that we've got to have every single one of our 30 capable of playing and ready to play and ready to go. And if we do happen to lose some of our key players, well, next one steps up and away we go. But I do think this year our list of 30, no disrespect to anyone who's been on our list, this list of 30 is probably the deepest list
we've
had.
Gabby and Fitzy said the same thing.
Yeah, so we brought in three players, Bree, Maggie and Dom, and all of them are vying for a round one spot, which is great.
Is there anyone that we would know from previous seasons who's found another gear this preseason? I know you don't play favourites. We're not playing favourites. They're all our favourites, but often there is that player that really steps up.
Look, I won't mention names, but there's at least three.
Just say their number.
I don't, because I honestly know what players are like. If I mention somebody and another person plays in that person's position.
Yeah. And they're all listening.
Yeah. Instantly, they'll be going, oh, okay, they've mentioned that player as being great and that player plays in my position. And it's just the way that they work.
Could we not do some sort of psychological trick here where there's a player that fires up under those circumstances and we say that her position's under threat?
No.
Yes, I'm talking to you, specific player listening to this right now.
Just let me say that I've spoken to – there's at least three that I believe have been good players and at times very good players. And they're ripe, if they want to really step up into All-Australian best and fairest contention, that probably were happy to just sort of go along as good players and under the radar, because putting yourself into that sort of elite category, it's a choice, and some players aren't willing to make that choice.
Because you're going to get tagged and you're going to get more media pressure.
That's right. When we lose a game, nobody looks at the middle rung players and says, oh, it was you guys. The first, they go to Ali Blackburn, just, and how did you two play?
Yep.
And if it's not the best that they can, well then, okay, well, you know.
We've worked it out. Yeah. That's what went wrong.
Yeah, and underneath that, there's a layer that sort of escaped that. So they've got to be willing to put themselves up into that category and take the good that comes with that, and also the negative that comes with that, and also carry themselves as that senior player, that I'm not afraid to actually put myself out there and carry myself. It starts with, we've said this numerous times, that with men, if you start playing really good footy, well, then you think like you belong. But with women, it's the other way around.
That's right.
Actually start to...
You've got to belong to play well.
Yeah.
Yes. You've
got to belong, and you've got to believe that I can be that player, and then the actions will come after that. So
I've tried to do that with my under-9s. We've got two girls, and I always make a big effort to say hello and make sure they're welcome. And
yeah, absolutely. But last year, as an example, I put it on Katie Lynch. I said, Katie, you have the ability to be an All-Australian centre-half back. Before that, you were probably happy to be a good player. And Alice Edmonds was exactly the same. Alice, why can't you be the best ruck in the competition? And I think she was last year. So both those players really grasped that. And we're not going to get better because Ali Blackburn plays better and Kirsty Lamb plays better and that sort of stuff. There's not... they can get better, but
still
there's not
nice.
A huge
there's
not a huge lift in them. But we'll get better when Alice Edmonds plays All Australian contention. Obviously, Lynchy becomes All Australian. But who's the next three or four that are going to make that? Whilst Lynchy and Alice and all them still maintain a high level, that next level coming through, and we're right.
And you know who they are.
I know who they are.
You know who they are. We're going to find out.
I've had chats with them down the beach. In the car, having a coffee.
In the secret CIA hideouts.
Yeah. And basically the question is, go away, come back, give me some reasons why you can't be vying for our top three best and fairest and why you can't be All-Australian, and get them to come up with the reasons.
Do they actually come up with reasons?
Some of them do.
What, like my asthma's playing up or certain player is better than me, or?
Some of them just come back with... I'll give you an example for one of them. She came back and she said, I always thought vying for something like that was not being a team player.
Oh, good answer.
And I was rather just be that team player. But she's gone, well, now what I've discovered is that getting All Australian and best and fairest is just acknowledgement that I am playing my role in the team. I'm being great for the team. That's acknowledgement that I'm doing for the team. So it's not something that to shy away from and actually strive for. So she sort of made that roundabout link that it's not a negative. It's actually positive that I'm doing stuff for the team. And that sort of changed her mindset. around. A lot of them would probably think similar ways. So we work through all the blockers of why you can't actually be that
psychological
person.
Blockers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it comes back to, all right, well, what do we need to actually do to bring that about? It's training standards and eating standards and recovering standards and all that sort of stuff. You want to be elite, they all have to be elite. And we figure out what they are. And each week I'll send them a text and say, hey, you're training this week, your second efforts and your, you know, intensity around the footy, which is what we've sort of worked on, was great. And so they can sort of hone in on those little things that they need to do when they're out there. But it starts with belief. If they don't believe that they can be, well, then they won't be.
I think you're doing an amazing job because I'm now believing. We've got a three-peat ahead of us here.
I'll stick with two-peat.
Sure,
that's our thing. 2x25, still alive and well.
Was that was that in part of your job interview? 2x25.
It came after the first 2 years of coaching. What I thought was, if you ask most of the players at the start of the year, especially the younger ones, what's your aim? The aim was, I want to get a game.
That's one.
Want to get a game, and then okay, what after that? You know, I probably want to get a game each week, and at the end of the year, if they look back, they've probably got their aims. They've got a game and they've got a game each week. But you end up with a whole team of players who are just happy to play and happy to be part of this league and will always be average, floating around the middle based on our talent. So it was about raising their goals, for want of a better word, up to why are we in this league? We're not in this league to just be one of the teams. And hopefully if our talent all clicks together, we might be good. We're in this league to win it. And so raising our goals from getting a game to being part of a team who are at the real pointy end of this competition and consistently vying for premierships. And once we sort of made that leap, well then, okay, the goal is to win the thing and not just win one. Because if you're good, because we can win one by splurging a whole bunch of money and getting a whole bunch of talented players in, and we might win one, and then they all leave, and then they're crap for another 5 years.
The 2018 model.
Yeah, I don't want to do that at all. So what I want to do is go, let's build a premiership, win one with this group of girls, and then they all hang around, and we win two. So if you're good enough to win one, and you're the best team, why aren't you winning two? And so that's our thing. I've set 25 as the target.
This is so awesome.
Three left. And so everything that we do now, we put under the lens of 2x25. Is this going to get us to that? If the answer is yes, well, then we keep doing it. If the answer is no, it's probably going to get us middle of the road or sneak into the finals, well, then that's not good enough. Let's raise that standard. And that goes from the dietitian to the physios to the doctors to the admin. Everything that we do has to be at that level. And the players got to be thinking, I need to get a level of fitness that is not competing or getting me a game. It's beating the Melbournes and the Brisbanes.
Yeah.
That's the level of fitness that I need to get to. That's the level of game plan that we need to get to and level of footy IQ that we need to get to compete at that level.
And you reckon we're there now?
We're darn tight closer than we were last year. We've had a really, really good pre-season, even in terms of fitness. I'll give you a tip. Last year, the most kilometres we did was, I think it was 27.5 in training, yep. Training kilometres was 27.5, and we did that right at the end of pre-season and leading into round one. We did 27.5 at week six, so halfway for our pre-season. And so now we're doing 28, 29s, and they're doing it easy. So we haven't doubled the running. We got there so much earlier, and now we can do so much more on top of that. That's just one example of, okay, let's go to that next level and do things. And the footy IQ, so I'm teaching them stuff now about, okay, well, you know, why would we kick the ball into the forward pocket? And instantly they'll be able to go, okay, let's kick the ball into the forward pocket, not into a danger spot, because we want to take time off the clock. We want to get our defenders set up down the ground and squash it up so the other team can't get the ball down the other end. The last couple of years, I wouldn't have even had those discussions because they're still trying to figure out, hey, how do I get the footy?
Right,
we can those little parts of actually footy IQ of how we play the game, they're all getting added in now, and we've got a group who can actually understand it and get it. So it's not just kicking and handballing that comes with training. It's all those other little aspects of how we play the game. How do we take time off the clock? How do we, what do we do when we're behind? What do we do when we save the game? What's a process with five players really click into gear and go bang, 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 you go there, I cover you, and away we go. That's stuff that we never haven't been able to do in the past.
Wow. So you found a you found another gear really here.
Yeah,
it sounds absolutely. Like the whole club has found another gear and I'm so excited.
Yeah, no, I had to find another gear. I lost every one of my assistant coaches from last year. They all went on to bigger and better things.
They all got, did great. They get stolen or?
Yeah, so Lisa, she's now the head coach at Fremantle, which is great.
I mean, yes, good for them as a person, but I'm just going to be a parochial nuffy here.
Yeah, so that's great for her. So she's got a head coaching job. Mel Hickey got a full-time job coaching Geelong Falcons in the Vic Country girls team, so it's a full-time job.
Sure.
Dylan Robinson got a full-time job in the men's program at Casey in Melbourne. So
that's a real downgrade.
Yeah, I know. It's bad luck for him. But so they all went on to bigger and better things, and so we had to
They all downsized. That's what I say.
And that's good for me as well, because I get new ideas coming in. I have to think about, okay, what do I want the assistant coaches to know, and what do I want them to, how do I want them to interact with the players? So that makes me think about that and get all that sort of stuff across. And, so I like to think I'm sort of, well, I should be. If I'm not, I'm not doing the right thing by the players. I'm getting better each year as well. And, the whole place is getting better each year.
I'm genuinely overconfident now. I'm off to get a tattoo. This is brilliant. I wish the season was starting next week now. This is so exciting. You've pretty much just fired me up. I imagine the listeners are right now just feeling like we can go out and play for you as well. You're clearly doing great things.
We'll see.
Which game are you most excited about?
There'll be a Friday night here before the grand final.
Yeah.
It's about round five.
Against your daughter.
Against the Saints, yeah. The first game back at Witten Oval under lights.
It's
going to be huge. That's going to be
pack it out, everyone.
Great. But I'm also looking forward to the first month. We've got Geelong in Geelong. We've got Ballarat. We've got Cranbourne. And we've got Gold Coast. So we're getting the K's up in that first month.
Yep.
But that's a challenge for us that I know these girls love a challenge. They won't look at that and go, oh, no. They'll go, hey, we get to spend a night in Ballarat with each other before we play on a Sunday. That's great. We get to fly to Gold Coast the day before and spend time with each other and play Gold Coast, and then we've got to stay there that night and come home the next day. They'll be looking forward to that. So all of those might be termed tough things to do. They relish those.
Yeah.
And so if we can get off that great start in that first four and then sort of come home with some more games here, that's hopefully going to set us up really well. So whilst playing here will be great, that first month on the road, we know we play well under adversity. We've played bloody, 10 games in 20 days or something one year. But that sort of adversity really gels this group together, and looking forward to seeing how we tackle that.
Oh, all right. Premiership coach Nathan Burke, thanks for coming on the pod again.
Thanks, mate. My pleasure.
By which ad would you like to?
I reckon Toyota would be up there. Or no, Carlton Draft.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Remember the Carlton Draft ads back in the day where it was like
expensive ad.
Big ad.
Yes, yeah. My friend was in that. He played one of the confused looking men.
I guess. Yeah, you're not really like a, a focal point. You're just kind of in a big...
No, you play your role within the team.
I mean, what a story for the grandkids, I was in that Carlton Draft ad. That's still getting around.
You reckon? Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. I mean, how old are you? What age did you grow up with?
I think it's because I've got older siblings.
It could be it.
I'm 27.
27. All right, sweet. Yeah, and that ad was about 2008, so 15 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago. Hey, God, ads were good in that. That was a good
back in the day. Yeah, now
I'd say
now it's weird when you hit a certain age, you'll go on to YouTube and you go down rabbit holes of old ads.
Yeah, oh,
and just 100%, remember that.
Yeah, they're like that was the same one like the ants. That was a creep. The one with the tongue where it was.
Oh,
like,
the tongue get went. It's a beer one. Ad where the tongue went out of the mouth.
Yeah,
that was gross.
That was a weird one. And then like the ants in the pants.
Is that the one with the echidna on the woman? You're way too young
for
that.
I know. I just and then like Oh, the...
Okay, just put it right up.
Oh, sorry. Yep, the, I don't know if you want this material.
No, well, what I'm doing is I'm recording a whole heap of stuff, okay. And people like to know the real you.
Yeah, that's true. sorry.
It's amazing how, though, you know, jingles will just... have you seen the film Inside Out, the Pixar one about the emotions?
Yes, yeah.
There's that one scene where they're going down in the memory bank and they go, sometimes we just throw up old ad jingles. And it shows the girl singing the double mint.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Those people work overtime in my head. Yeah.
That was a good movie, actually. I watched that with my little niece.
Yeah.
Like literally over the weekend.
Oh, really? Hey, sweet. My kids are obsessed with Encanto. That's on repeat at our place. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a bit more heartwarming. But
yeah. But that's the risk with Pixar.
Yes.
You'll either get, you know, heartwarming fun, or your toys are about to be burnt to death.
That's true.
So don't tell us about you. You've just come to the club. Where were you?
Yeah. I'm from Sydney originally. Yep. I was playing with my local club, North Shore, down there.
You're from the North Shore. Moneybags. Ooh, okay. Thank you for your butler for bringing you in.
There we go. There it is.
Have culture shock being here in West Footscray.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to, you know, see the salt of the earth types and get to know the real people.
when did we draft you?
So I was drafted in the recent
they've all got weird terms.
Yeah, the supplementary draft.
Sure.
The top up, I guess.
The top up. Sweet. But everyone, like, see, I've just chatted to Gabby, I've chatted to Fitzy, I've chatted to Berkey. They're all talking you up. They're talking all the new recruits up. But you've been mentioned. So you're not the one from Canberra, though.
North Shore.
Not
Sydney.
Moose. Yeah, okay. I thought you were just trying to big note yourself.
So I was.
So you were just playing local footy?
Yeah, yeah.
And who scouted you?
Well, so I was playing. I was playing with the Swans, like in their train on group.
Okay.
Played with the Giants in their train on. I was a bit of a.
That's all right. No, everyone
doing
does
the rounds
that.
As
That's
a train fine. On for a couple of years, and then I moved down here because I knew a few girls had done that and moved to play in the VFL to get picked up and get a bit of a chance down here with the Melbourne clubs. Sorry. So I moved in Feb to play in the VFL. And then
for who?
For Bulldogs.
All right, sweet.
Yeah, yep. And then it was probably really James, our welfare manager. He sort of got me in front of Berkey for a few of the skills sessions. So and then the rest is history.
Yeah,
here
what,
I am.
What have you noticed the biggest difference between AFLW and VFLW levels?
I don't know if I can speak to that very well because I think I played two games in the VFL.
Wow. And you're already at AFL level. You must be good. This is so exciting.
Well, I guess we'll soon find out.
All right, good. You've got the professional athlete humbleness down pat. I mean, what did you play? When did you start playing footy?
I was a late comer. I started playing... I would have been like 21, 22 maybe. Mm-hmm. In the first year, it was the first year of AFLW, I think.
Yeah.
My older brother, my dad's from Adelaide, so we were always a footy family.
Yeah.
And I grew up playing soccer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So then my brother's club, North Shore, they got a women's team in like 2017. And then
what are they called? North Shore Magpies?
North Shore Bombers.
Bombers.
Yeah. And so I went down and, gave it a shot. I'd always wanted to play, but it was just, you know, never really.
It's the classic
around.
Story.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Did you even do Auskick?
Nah.
Oh, man.
I really, really missed out. No, but it was, it was funny. Like as I said, dad's from Adelaide and he, the very first, I remember him telling me that the first time he saw me get tackled, he just thought it was so funny because I kind of looked up and just the pure look of shock on my face.
Well, from a soccer background, you're like, do I dive now?
I know, I think it was this look of like, you can't do that. What are you doing? Like, just completely taking me out. But, it's been, I think dad's loved kind of seeing how much I've loved it.
When was there a moment of epiphany that like, oh, I'm good at this? I know you're humble and you don't want to actually talk it up, but I'm sure there was a moment for the North Shore Bombers where you got up and kicked a goal from 50 or something.
Oh, I think it was I remember my coach at the time, he was really like, you know, there were a couple of kind of rules that we had as a team. It was, you know, I remember one was don't U-turn. And I don't know if that's like, maybe that's a stupid thing.
Oh, you can U-turn anywhere here.
Like, you can't, like, if you turn, don't do a, you know,
don't pass backwards.
No, as in, like, don't, if you pick up the ball.
Oh, don't do the 360.
Yeah, don't do a 360. Okay. Try and beat the player, like, try to give the hands.
Oh, nice.
At the back. And for some reason, it couldn't stick. And I just U-turn every single time.
Oh, no.
And then eventually he was just like, okay, the only person that can U-turn is Dom. So that was probably a bit of a gas up, I guess, because, you know, it was like, got away with it a few times.
Yeah, so. Coach's pet. But if you're good enough, you get to do those things.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, I mean, what happens in your first day of coming to the Bulldogs? Who's on the welcoming committee? What do they do? Did you have to stand up in front of everyone and tell them your nickname and everything? Or?
Do you know what? My first interaction with the Bulldogs was just incredible. Like, I'll never forget it. I was playing with the VFL, had gone to a skills session, and it was just so much fun. Like, Berkey's just loveliest guy. James is incredible. And I remember I had a borderline breakdown to James and just said, like, I'm really struggling because I work as well.
What's your job?
I'm a consultant in for Deloitte in the corporate strategy.
My co-host Boydie would know what that means. What does Deloitte do?
Deloitte, sorry.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I can't even say it. What does Deloitte do?
So we're like a professional services.
This is very vague. It sounds like you're in the mafia.
Yeah, well, I'm a consultant, so you know.
Consultant of professional services. That is a made-up job, Dom.
So I'm in strategy, I guess,
that's just as vague.
Okay, sure. Well, anyway, we can get into that.
Okay, so you're working full time. What was the breakdown about?
I guess I was sort of struggling because I was living with my auntie and uncle, and they're in, you're going to love this, but they're in Brighton.
Great, you on brand.
The story's just written
Hang
for
on,
you,
so you work
it?
For you work for a very vague corporate company. You're from the North Shore. Yeah, this is everything's...
I know painting what's happening a Gosh, I need to come in with some new material, don't I?
No, it's you. There's no judgment. There's no class war within Danny Boyd.
Well, that's why I had to add, you know, Footscray to the resume.
Damn
to just,
straight.
You know, bring me back down to earth. So I was struggling because, you know, the travel time to training.
Yes.
A lot of the girls were a lot younger. They weren't working kind of full time. So I was struggling with probably the balance of getting to training after work and all that kind of thing. And I'd started working from the library, from Braybrook Community Centre Library, which is next to Skinner Reserve where we were training. And I just said to James, you know, like, I'm struggling a little bit with, you know, it was taking me 2 hours to get to training, but it was probably an hour and a half journey. It's just, you know, I don't know Melbourne.
Yeah, that's totally understandable.
Seemed to be roadworks. I would have thought turn.
Our CEO lives out in Brighton. He could have given you a lift or something.
Berkey, actually, this is what's crazy about. Sorry, I completely digress on this.
That's okay.
Story,
that's fine.
I guess my first interactions with the Bulldogs was just love and support and how can we help? How can we make it easier for you? You know, Berkey's off, like, and this is me who'd seen the Disney documentary too many times, but I care to admit.
Fearless
documentary.
The Fearless, that's the one, yes.
And I just, like, you know, adored
Are you just
Berkey.
Saying that to keep Kylie
no,
Watson
no,
really
I,
happy?
No, I'm embarrassed to tell you that I'd watched it too many. I thought, oh, Berkey's just the bee's knees. I just thought he was so funny. The girls just seemed incredible.
Yeah.
So from the get-go, I just thought I'll get along so well with that group, and it was just more than I ever could have imagined.
So you were like meeting TV characters. It's like, oh, you know,
but it was unbelievable. I was a little kid, like, just my eyes were wide as ever, and my jaw was hitting the ground. I was yeah, I've got Berkey offering me lifts to training. I've got James telling me like, oh, we'll set you up with a desk in the office next to,
oh, really?
Next to Berkey, outside Chris Grant's office.
That would be a good move. I don't know. Admittedly, I don't understand
and
your
I'm
job
not
at
even
all.
Drafted yet.
Oh, you're not. You. Oh, back
this
then,
is,
right.
This
so
is
that's
the point
back
where
then.
I'm a VFL player and who's played club 10 minutes ago and couldn't get myself a spot in any of the Sydney teams. So I was just, I couldn't believe it that.
you finally met some good people.
Yeah, well, it's just like they just wrapped their arms around me. They were offering, yeah, as I said, like put me outside Chris Grant's office. I'm walking down the hallways and James is introducing me to Libba and Trelaw and
wow.
Josh,
a good
Bruce
power
is,
move. You're there consulting people and suddenly Chris Grant's walking behind you. They're on a Zoom call talking about the Dow Jones or whatever, well, and go, hey, is that Luke Beveridge?
It's funny you say that because one of my colleagues, he's a big St Kilda fan.
That's and a shame.
Well, look, there was a glimmer of hope earlier on. He was pretty happy about that early on in the season. But I was on a call with him and Berkey comes in the background.
Of course,
and
yeah, St Kilda legend.
And pokes his head into the screen and I think he just about had kittens on the other end. He was very excited, so my work's been incredibly supportive as well.
So that's great. We've embraced you. We've brought you in. What sort of player are you? What position do you love? Where are we going to be cheering you on from?
I think midfield. I've always sort of played on the ball. Played a bit of wing early on, so I might get thrown around there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Berkey doesn't want to put me in a box, using his words.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
I think he's just going to see where my skills kind of take me. But I think if I'm, yeah, I think I'd say probably on ball.
That's exciting.
Very exciting. I mean, if that's the case, then I'll just be, you know, pig in mud.
Yeah. It's all right. You can swear on this pod. It's fine. It's fine. Man, that's so exciting. It's welcome to the Dogs. Everyone has really talked you up, and I'm just chatting to Berkey now. I'm convinced that even I could win the grand final this year. It's just the optimism around this place is so massive, and just your infectious personality and love for the club. And and what number are you again?
14.
Ooh, it's a good number.
Well, my lucky number was always 7.
Okay.
You standard. Know, 2 sevens are...
Oh, 14. You're double your luck. This is awesome.
Exactly. It was just meant to be. And my nephew, he's born on the 14th as well.
Oh, sweet.
Say,
so. And have all your family gone for the Dogs now?
Oh, do you know what? That's a contentious one. So, Dad's from Adelaide. And
so is he Crows or
Port? He's okay. Crows through and through. My nan is a big Crows supporter as well, so I don't think she'd ever
sort of
trade.
Family is
I know,
this?
Well,
I could see why you needed to be embraced
loyal.
By us. These horrible people.
But the funny thing is that because we grew up in Sydney and Dad was always like, you should go for the Swans because that's your local team.
Weird.
I know, it's a very like self-sacrificing kind
I wouldn't do that.
Well, it's because my brother's had a couple of kids and his partner, she's a big Carlton supporter.
Ooh.
I know. Yeah. So we've just, the poor kids, they're in complete confusion because you've got, you know, the granddad's Crows, you got dad's Swans.
Yeah.
Now I'm throwing, but I feel
just
like
go for
I've
the
got the
kids.
I've
yeah,
got
you
the
got
kind
the,
of
come on, you're a player. Card.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's blood.
Let's get
blood
him in
thicker
there.
Than water.
Absolutely. So you don't do what I do. You marry someone not from Australia and then it's not an issue.
That's
what I was thinking.
Well, I've just like slowly bought them bits of merch here and there. And
that's what you
know,
that's how you do it. That's how you do it. And also when you become a dominant player. And do you have a nickname yet? Dominant Carruthers sounds good.
Dom Dollar gets thrown around a
Dom
bit.
Dom Dollar?
Dom Dollar.
Is that a reference to some pop Is culture it, thing that
yes,
an old
yeah,
man
yeah.
doesn't get?
Pretty much, yeah.
What's it from?
It's a musician.
Oh, yeah, Dom no, I've got no hope then. Yeah. Okay. I'll still call you that. I just won't know what's going on. I'll probably get it wrong as well. I'll be there. Good on you, 50 Cent.
Yeah. Hey, that'll do. That'll do.
Mate, thanks for coming on the pod. Thanks for getting your training allegedly started 5 minutes ago. So I'll let you go out there and welcome to the Dogs. You're
thank
such
you
a,
very
a
much.
Such a bubbly, exciting, optimistic place, and you are absolutely a part of that.
Well, it was lovely to meet you, Danny. Same can be said.
I gave my childhood to that role of the red, white, and blue sea. And the knowledge that you had to love the Bulldog boys and me. 20 years on, I feel that longing hanging in September air. But the reason I go every week is to pretend you're still there. And they will find the glory one day, and I will throw it at your feet. It's a long, long road they're running for you, the Dogs of Footscray Street. It's a long, long road they're running for you, the Dogs of Footscray Street.